San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, February 28, 2021. Today's lesson is Twinkling of an Eye with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. This we repeat every Sunday. And we do this because it anchors us in that wholeness, that allness that God is, that Spirit is, that the universe is. And today our lesson is Twinkling of an Eye. The first thing I would like to address is eyes that twinkle. What do we think of when somebody says the twinkling of an eye? One of the first things I thought of was, I knew your parents before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye. That one always amused me, especially when I was a kid. Because when my dad laughed and was happy, his eyes just twinkled and were bright. And I thought, wow, this guy must have known my dad forever because he's always had twinkling eyes. Clement Moore, in the Night Before Christmas, wrote about St. Nicholas. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. So what is it that we think of with eyes that twinkle? We think of eyes that are catching the light, having great joy, having great love, having an aha moment. Aha! The light goes on and there's a twinkle in the eye. In 1 Corinthians, there is a biblical quote. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Now, what's going on in this letter to the Corinthians is the apostle is talking to the people of the Corinthian people, the people of the church. And he says to them, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So we know how instantaneous the twinkling of an eye can be. But what was the surrounding story of this quote? Well, the author, the apostle, was talking about the difference between earth and heaven, physical and spiritual. He was talking about the resurrection of the dead, not people dying and then coming back to life in human form. He was talking about the very nature of our being. Yes, we walk around in these physical forms. But then he said, but the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Because corruption can't inherit incorruption. So the thoughts that are in our heads, the thoughts that are in our brains, our minds, when we are focused on the physical, are not the same as when we are focusing on the spiritual and the mystical. there is inherent, I don't want to say corruption, but the corruption of human beings, human motives, human whatever. There is that which we could call corruption of the spiritual part. And so what do we want to do? We're born with a natural body, and yet within that natural body, we have that spiritual body, that spiritual essence. We have to, because nothing else can animate that physical body. It is the one life, the infinite life, the God, living spirit, almighty essence, the source, that animates these little earth suits we wear and maintains them. And, you know, we have to take our responsibility for maintaining our own earth suits. But what he was telling us, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He was reminding us, reminding the Corinthians, don't focus on all the junk going on in your physical life, because you'll be so caught up in it, you will miss what is important, what is your true life, your real life, your inheritance of the spiritual kingdom. So focus on what is the spiritual nature of things, the pureness, the beauty, the love, the true delight in knowing the divine is within, the kingdom is within. And as soon as we focus on that, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we are changed. We are changed. The good news is that didn't only apply to the Corinthians. That applied to everybody. When we have all of these human-based thoughts and ideas in our lives, they're heavy. They have a density to them, just like the physical body. And when we focus on that density, we are not allowing ourselves to be open and uplifted and refreshed by the knowing, by the truth, that there is only one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. That is the living spirit, almighty, divine, source, God. And it's who we are. It's who we are. It is that indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. We can't live in it unless we're a part of it. We can't move in it unless we're a part of it. We can't have our being in it unless we're a part of it. Because it's all in harmony. It's all one. It's all one. In 365 Science of Mind for today, February 28th, the title is, I Form a New Concept of God. I form a new concept of God. Now we can talk about what do people make their gods and what do people recognize as their gods. Too many people in our world place their worship, their allegiance to things that are not of God. They place their, they worship money. They worship something harmful. They worship drugs. They worship drink. They call these things essential to their lives. They are not. The only thing essential to our life is the awareness of our divine spiritual nature. Ernest writes in here, the power of life within you is a spiritual power, able to bring you to your permanent peace, increasing happiness and joy, and greater material abundance. These things that have made man miserable can be eliminated through the conscious use of this power, the power of God. God could not visit fear or hate or impoverishment upon us because God transcends all these things. And all these people, they blame God. Oh, God's punishing me. That's why I'm poor. God's punishing me. That's why I didn't bother to go get my new driver's license on time and then got cited for driving without a license. It's God's fault. God's punishing me, right? Ernest says, the world needs a new concept of God. A new idea must be born in the minds of people everywhere about the nature of God and their relationship to this divine creative spirit in which we live and move and have our being. Ernest says, the only thing that can bring joy, that can bring love, joy, peace, and prosperity to the world is a direct experience of the invisible. Now, where did we hear that? Right in our morning quotes. We must sense the immediate presence of life. Where did we hear that? This morning in our quotes. But it goes on. It goes on. With simplicity and directness, we must sense that the Spirit is at the center of our own lives. We must learn to recognize that it, the Spirit, is at the center of all people and working in human affairs. While it is true that the power of God is always within us, it is not true that we have always realized its presence. To realize this is to be able to make conscious use of it, to direct it for ourselves and others. So what is he saying? He's saying, hey, dude, again and again and again, there's a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. So use it. Use it. In the Science of Mind textbook written by Dr. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of religious science and the author of this book, on page 69, paragraph 1, he says, when he's talking about this power greater than you are and you can use it, the starting point of all creation is the word of spirit. The word is the concept, idea, image, or thought of God. It's the self-knowing mind speaking itself into manifestation. The word back of everything is its initial cause. The word is the concept. I form a new concept of God. Let's pause right here as we're talking about word and the power of word to mention the season for nonviolence. We are in the midst of this season for nonviolence that goes from January 30th to April 4th, in which we are honoring the life and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi, who were both proponents of nonviolence. Absolute nonviolence in civil resistance. So they would have a march, and they would march. And they would line up together, marching down a street with their arms locked together, elbow to elbow, so that they would form a more solid line. And that line that they formed was indicative of the unity. We are one. We are brothers. We are life. We are here supporting each other. And oh, by the way, when we've got our arms locked together, you can see that we have no weapons. So we're not putting our hands in our pockets. We're not digging our, you know, behind in the back of our waistband. We are simply here marching, singing, usually spiritual hymns, having speeches. And why were they doing that? They were protesting the treatment of people. With Mahatma Gandhi, they wanted home rule. And so their goal was to point out that home rule was better than British rule because the British abused the people of India. That was what they did. Anybody who rose up against them, they punished brutally. Well, by being nonviolent, it pointed out in stark reality how unfair it was when the British followed their own laws and beat and harmed and jailed and killed the protesters, while the protesters were doing nothing but being still. Dr. King studied Gandhi, and he saw that his methods worked. And he also looked at the history in our nation and saw what did not work, which was violent uprising. Violent uprising never brought about change. It just brought about death. So to bring about the change, Martin Luther King implemented the same nonviolent practices. What we do here at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living is we honor this season for nonviolence, and we participate every year, and we take our annual pledge to nonviolent behavior. We also have 64 days here, and we have 64 daily practices. We call it 64 ways in 64 days. And these are our daily commitments to nonviolence. So today is day 30. And we're talking about a new concept of God, right? We're talking about the Word. The Word of Spirit is the source of all. So for today, day 30, it is, today I will take some time to tell a family member or friend how much they mean to me. Today I will take some time to tell a family member or friend how much they mean to me. So what happens when we speak that word in faith, believing? It is occurring. It has already occurred. As soon as the words are out of our lips, they are a prayer, a tangible prayer in the universe, and they must come true. They must be made manifest. So when you say to someone, "Wow, look at that twinkle in your eyes. I am so excited to see you so happy." What happens? The twinkle in their eyes increases. Their happiness increases. Their sense of self increases because you have recognized something powerful and beautiful within them. You, with your words, have used that power that is greater than you are. the power of the word. The power of the word. I want to tell you something about the integrity of the universe. It is all harmony. It is all divine balance. It is just such a magnificent example of the perfection of order and harmony and all of life circling, swirling, being one essence, one living thing that is all things. And everything is moving and responding in accordance with divine law, divine principle. Your word, your very word, any treatment that you make, anything that you say, is a part of the integrity of the universe. Now, we just put a rover on Mars, right? We didn't see that as soon as we landed the rover on Mars, oops, it fell out of orbit because it was too much weight. No. No. We didn't see the rover fall off the edge, you know, just because we know it's an orb. It stuck because of gravity. It didn't just fall off and go flying, right? That's because of the universal principles and spiritual laws. That's the integrity, the wholeness, the perfection of the universe. So when I want you to do something, every word that you speak, I want you to give it respect. Because it is the word of God. Everything you say is the word of Spirit. Everything you say has that power. So respect your own word. Respect yourself and others. Know that everything that comes out of our mouths is a prayer. When we put together our prayers in a scientific manner, like spiritual mind treatment, then it looks more formal. That's exactly what it does. It looks more formal. And we have a step-by-step process that we have derived. But the truth is that it is the heart, the feeling, that is the power in all of these treatments. In the same Science of Mind textbook on page 163, this is chapter 11, and it's all about mental and spiritual treatment. So we say treatment, and here's what Ernest says. Treatment, what it is. Effective mental treatment is propelled by a consciousness of love and a realization that the creative spirit is always at work. The practitioner does not feel that he must compel the force to work. It is the nature of the creative power to take form. And it is the nature of man to use it. So, the word. We don't have to say, all right, here's my prayer. Let me put it on a time delay so that it will be kicked off and like an email, it'll be sent tomorrow at 10. No. Instantaneous. Because the universe is never on pause. The creative process is never on pause. As soon as we have a thought, as soon as we speak a word, that unconditional love that is the driving force of the universe already has created this as a force of energy. It already has. We need to have an inner conviction that this force, this law, this creative process is always in operation, always. Ernest says that the treatment should be given in a calm, expectant manner and with a deep inner conviction of its reality. Never doubt. Never doubt. Say, oh, well, yeah, Reverend Mark's stomach issues will be resolved or are resolved. And then say, gosh, I hope so. You know, what if the divine truth is they're not supposed to be? Don't doubt yourself, because the truth is Mark is whole, perfect, and complete. Nothing you can change about that. You can just align with that truth. And this work is always effective because the law is always in operation. If it wasn't, the universe would have imploded in chaos the moment it was begun. The moment God breathed and the universe was created, everything was set in motion in perfect harmony. That's that power. It's greater than we are, and we can use it. So, what is the purpose of our treatment? It's to liberate our mind with a new concept of God, to emancipate us from any preconceived notions that God is male, that he wears a white robe, that he has a long beard and long hair, and he sits on a throne, and, oh, by the way, he has a basket of lightning bolts sitting nearby in case he wants to punish anybody. Keep in mind that everything that happens to us is our experience of the divine. Why would we want to throw lightning bolts at ourselves? And yet mentally people do it. Why would we want to choke the life out of ourselves? And yet people do it. And that can all change in the twinkling of an eye, when we readjust our thinking. We know by virtue of the kingdom is within and the kingdom is already yours, that everything, all of the divine spiritual gifts are already ours, because that's what we are, is a piece, a part, a parcel, one of the many drops of ocean water in the ocean. We are that gift. We are the divine expressing itself through us to experience itself as us. And this we experience. This knowing is the healing power. It's a consciousness of our unity of all life and the spiritual nature of all being. I say the process, right? The healing power is a consciousness of the unity, and there is a process, the healing process. This is an interesting way to say it, because when you're doing spiritual mind treatment and you're taking practitioner studies and you're studying in the seminary and you're talking with other ministers and teaching, people will say, well, how long does it take to heal? How long does it take? Their healing process insofar as it may be termed a process, is in becoming conscious of this eternal truth. I've had many students say, well, okay, so this is my treatment. What shall I do? How many times shall I repeat it? And it's a challenge. It has been in the past a challenge for me, because I do occasionally counsel people and say, okay, think of it like taking medicine four times a day. Okay, do your affirmations, do your treatments, do yourself four times a day. And they go, well, if I do it eight times a day, will that be better? No, because when you do it with the sense of inner knowing that is already done, all you're doing by repeating the treatment is reminding yourself that it's done. That's all. Because as soon as you put your full heart, your full love, your full set of feelings, your emotions into a treatment, it is done. It is done because the universe, the divine creative process, has already acted on it. When it was a thought, before you even gave voice to it, it already was done. With that resonance, that energy that you are. Twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as we understand this new concept of God. Not the separate God, the God that is all, the God that is within all, as all, through all, the infinite spirit, the allness of the universe. That's who and what we are. And the more we sense this, the more we are conscious of it, the more we are aware of it, the more freedom and fullness and joy and love is in our lives in every moment, no matter what things on the outside look like. Nothing can stop us now. So, are you ready to make an affirmation with me?
Yes.
Absolutely. Good. Okay, so place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. With love in my heart,
with love in my heart,
knowing I am unbound and unlimited,
knowing that I'm unbound and unlimited,
I accept myself as a happy, healthy, strong, and successful person,
and successful person,
right here and now.
Right here and now.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Amen. So breathe that in. Right here and right now. You are a happy, healthy, strong, and successful person. Doesn't that feel great? Where's the smiles? I want to see the happy part. Yes. You are unbound, you are unlimited, you are unfettered, you are whole here and now, and within you lives joy, health, strength, and success. It's who you are. And so I say it is, and it is. Thank you for your time, your attention, for exploring this twinkling of an eye. Namaste.